Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Starlight Podcast. We're a lot of episodes in right now. We've got a pretty good streak going for the whole crew here, and we've got the usual suspects. We've got Daddy Sheev.
What up?
We've got Lord Dagavir, of course.
Yo.
And right now, I'd say we are kind of in a Star Wars drought where there's not a whole lot of news coming out. There's not a whole lot of things to talk about other than stuff that has already happened. So one thing we're going to talk about that I love the lore of and love going into and exploring the different aspects of this is lightsaber crystals. We've had a couple of different interpretations of lightsaber crystals and bleeding crystals that we've seen throughout both canon and legends. And I think we're going to get a really cool conversation going. We've got our legends expert. We've got a lot of canon knowledge. I defer to you two on a lot of knowledge as well. So let's get into it.
Yeah.
What do we think? What are your guys's, how do you guys feel about the lightsaber, the crystal lore that we have seen so far?
Yeah.
I mean, Dagger, if you want to start, you got it.
Yeah, so we'll start with the basics. We'll start with like changing from legends to new canon with like before there were so many crystals that you could find, the synthetic stuff that Sith lords would always do where they would create the synthetic crystal with red, which is what you would usually see, or you would randomly run into the super rare crystal like even Darth Vader had at one point. But now in new canon, most of them, majority of them are colorless until they bond with a Force user. And that's how they get their color in that moment where they ignite the blade. I like both. I genuinely like enjoy both. But there are parts of the new canon that make me feel like, you know, perhaps we should have probably stuck with what came before and added to it. You know, because I don't like the idea, in my opinion, that like everything is colorless, like everything is boring. I like the idea of rare crystals, like the obsidian crystal, you know, like in the Darksaber. That's really cool. You know, so there's a lot of cool stuff in Star Wars lore and also where they get them from the planets. So, yeah, I mean, like, I would like to encounter something in the wild that may be already green or purple, you know, or red. So, yeah, there's a lot of cool stuff. But I think as we will get in this podcast, there's definitely room for improvement and consistency.
Johnny, what are your thoughts on lightsaber crystal lore?
Well, I can't say I'm well versed in legends. That's why we have our legends expert, Lord Dagger. But I will say, as far as canon wise, I've read a lot of the Vader series. We've seen lightsaber bleeding crystals there. I've seen some stuff, even kind of lightsabers in general from Clone Wars, like we saw when those kids went to Ilum and like got their crystals. Which then and there, it seemed like their crystals were colored, which is interesting. And then we've seen in the Acolyte, obviously, with some lightsaber bleeding and whatnot. So there's definitely some differentiation, even just in canon, that I've seen. And it is kind of interesting between the different medias how just like slightly variations we've seen in canon so far. But yeah, what do you think, Connor?
Well, the big thing about lightsabers is, from what I have encountered on TikTok and other social media, is that it causes a lot of controversy. I think people love to talk about lightsabers and how they work, how they don't work, what they mean, everything. It's something that the content that I've make sparks a lot of engagement and a lot of excitement. Like, people love the lightsaber. It's a cool thing. I'm willing to bet that is what has gotten almost all of us into Star Wars, is seeing a lightsaber. And I think it's so cool how the lore has expanded, because remember, when we first see lightsabers, it's blue and red. It's good and bad. It's, oh, wait, this blue lightsaber doesn't work because on the barge, you can't see it in the sky in episode 6. So now we have a green lightsaber.
Yeah.
And now we have more lore with lightsabers and crystals. So I really appreciate the lore and how it expands from nothing to this huge thing that we've gotten a million different webbings and branches off of. But I am would call myself a canon expert, and I don't know really anything other than outside of like the Darth Bane trilogy when we see like some synthetic crystals in Legends. I enjoy the new canon and seeing the journeys that these lightsaber crystals go through, and the people, and we've seen like younglings go through them and connect with them. But I'm excited to kind of talk about all the different details with everybody, because like I don't have a very strong opinion on whether or not, you know, like I enjoy most of it, but there's stuff that could definitely be improved between medias and stuff like that. So I think probably the biggest topic that we've seen, the most controversy that we get, is with the Acolyte.
Mm-hmm.
Just for those who don't know, we'll talk about bleeding for a large majority of this podcast. And Dagavir, if you want to give your explanation that we were talking about kind of before the podcast, what is bleeding a kyber crystal and that connection?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing about bleeding a kyber crystal is understanding the process. And we've only really seen it about 3 times in the expanded universe. We know it's happened more because of Ahsoka and her white lightsabers. We understand every single Sith Lord at a time, or a large portion of Sith Lords at a time, that were very Sith-oriented, tracked down a Jedi, took that Jedi's lightsaber after they killed them, and then purged that crystal to the point that it corrupted it to bleed the crimson red, you know. And on the other side, of course, is the Ahsoka's, where it's completely white, which is purifying this crystal. It's a very interesting process. I really enjoy it when it's from the expanded universe. We've seen Kylo Ren do it to the point where he basically broke his crystal and had to adjust his lightsaber to the point where it needed to compensate for that crystal. We've seen Darth Vader do it, and Darth Vader struggle with doing it. And then we've also seen it in a video game with Jedi Survivor, where a Jedi turns to the dark side right in front of Cal Kestis, and it's a very quick process for him, and he makes no physical contact with this kyber, which is the complete opposite of what we usually see. And then, of course, the most polarizing version of it is in the Acolyte, where it is indirectly, accidentally bled. And that, in my opinion, is the one that I just can't wrap my head around the most, because before the Acolyte, it was established pretty well about like how you can do this, when you can do this, why you're going to do this. But I think a lot of us, when we saw that, were kind of shook at how easily it was done for that character. And it's nothing on the character itself. I think that is just a flaw with the Acolyte, and my personal issues with the Acolyte in general when it comes to execution. But I think that is something that did a lot of damage to the idea of these crystals being bled in this way and changing colors, which is very hard to do with the expanded universe and new Disney canon, because now you have questions as, if she could do this, why couldn't Anakin Skywalker do this? You know, which is a very great question. And I think that we'll eventually tackle that today, hopefully.
Yeah, I was going to say, I kind of agree with you, Dagavir. It's the way it was done in the Acolyte is definitely different from what we've seen. Mm-hmm. And I will say I am a little confused on like how that was possible. Yes. Maybe you can shed some light. Maybe you know things.
Yeah. Maybe. Connor, have you made videos on that specific?
Yeah, have you?
I'm pretty sure I've seen a few of them. I've made videos on them, but I want to know specifically, how many questions do you get about why she was able to turn the crystal red?
Yeah, I have made, and most, I'd probably say like 80% of my videos are lore oriented.
Yes.
With maybe my opinion giving like, hey, this is what I think, like at the very end. So when I made a video about that, it was just saying like what happened, like to people who watched that show, like what just happened. Because if you had only watched like the movies, the TV shows, maybe like you would have absolutely like zero idea what just happened.
No idea.
And I think that is the biggest like problem that comes with it is that the TV shows and the movies obviously take precedent over, we've seen it a million times. They take precedent over the comics. They take precedent over the books. And the fact that they wanted to dive into the Kyber crystal bleeding for me was awesome. Like, that's a cool topic to tackle. And they think they tried to make it way more palatable for the general audience, where you see the darkness and the red bleed into it, like seep into the lightsaber. It causes the lightsaber to literally be damaged. So the videos that I make on that are mostly just informative and explaining what had happened and explaining that, hey, we have seen this before in Star Wars canon. We've seen it in video games, we've seen it in comics, but like a lot of the people who comment on that video are the people who are saying, why was it so easy?
Yeah.
Like, why this did is this ridiculous. Happen?
Yeah. Yes. Made Anakin Skywalker less special. And I think, in my opinion, to a point, they are not wrong in why they're asking these questions, because Anakin Skywalker is a very main character in Star Wars, you know? And I think, again, that is just an acolyte issue, because that's something we'll get into another podcast. But specifically when it comes to the bleeding process, we all, most of us who watched the show, understood that the Kyber crystal had protruded and penetrated outside of the hilt of the lightsaber, and that part was exposed and making physical contact with Osha. That is the main reason why this damn thing happened. Is that correct? Yes. Should it have happened? I don't think so, personally. And should it happen the way that we saw on screen, like from her touching it and then just in a matter of seconds it changing like a snow cone? And I don't think I wouldn't have done it that way, is all I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. And as someone who has read these comics and played these video games and really appreciated the idea of it before, I definitely look at it in a different direction now, because I'm just like, man, this was not the way to do this. And there were so many other examples I think that could have worked, but I'm not sure the acolyte deserved it in that way with that execution. I think it could have done, because there are a lot of things. Sorry. There is one thing that I really love about the acolyte, and that is the choreography. I think the choreography is amazing. You know, I don't care about who's on this side or what. I think it's very, very good. And other Star Wars projects need to look and learn to do better and keep that standard. Everything else about the acolyte, I would ignore. But that's just my personal opinion, because the way that was handled with the bleeding, to me, felt like someone didn't really understand how bleeding had worked before. And this is live action, like you said. No matter how important the expanded universe, whether it's Legends or new canon, or George Lucas's own source books that he creates, live action is the Bible. So now that first experience that you see with that bleeding, that's what people think. And I think that is the main problem, because that execution just did not justify all of the expanded universe that we've had before, and kind of now has overrode it. You know, and I just think that's very icky, and it's a stain on bleeding, I feel like, personally, for me right now.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too, is like in some of the like comics and stuff, like especially Vader's, like when he bleeds his crystal, like it's like an intense process. And I mean, it doesn't take like a long time, but you know, it is a very like intense emotional thing that he's doing, and it's kind of crazy. And then what we see live action, which, you know, it's a lot simpler, and like you pointed out, Connor, like, you know, stuff gets retconned all the time. The movies and TV shows are, you know, basically live action, you know, takes precedence, so I get that. But yeah, it is a part of me, it's like, damn, like, is this just how it works now? I guess that's how it is. Like,
yes. Yes. I think that is actually amazing way to say it. Like, is this how it is now? Because when I'm not really trying to like take on this character or attack anyone, any actress or anything or writer, but this character Osha is not a character to me that came off as powerful in any regard. I thought they were quite average, which I liked. I didn't mind. But everything else about the character just did not do it for me. And I think this process that we saw in the show is not helping anybody like this character even more, because you're giving people excuse to dislike this project and dislike this character with this issue, with this flaw. And the flaw is, how the hell did Osha know how to do this? And she didn't. She had no idea
how
to do this.
Like, intentionally did it.
And then you have, yeah, and then you have someone like Anakin, who is killing children when he's holding his lightsaber. And yes, he's not physically connecting and touching his lightsaber. But Dagan from Jedi Survivor, he is not physically touching his Kyber crystal either. He's holding with the Force and connecting it, you know. And you're telling me that the Chosen One Anakin Skywalker isn't connected to everything around him more than these other characters, which, sure, he's not the greatest character. He's not the most powerful character, but he's the Chosen One nonetheless. And that is the problem, I think, that the show has, is you're making it ask more questions, and it's the wrong type of questions that you don't want people to question. So, yes, I think people are justified in the way that they are attacking this, but even still, there are still so many things that they do not understand, like how long the process takes, like why gripping the Kyber crystal is such an effective way to bleed it, or why it's even happening in the first place. But I do not think that the show is helping these questions.
Yeah, because it kind of just gave more questions than answers.
Yeah, it's fueled with fire. It really is. Yeah.
Because then you're questioning other stuff that you see because of how they went about it.
Yes. That's the point. And the lightsaber already being emitted and changing.
Yeah. Which I will admit, it's kind of a cool look. It was kind of a cool look. And also, it was Star Wars Visions where, I mean, it's not canon, but they had a similar...
I love Star Wars Visions. Yes.
What's up?
Oh, no, I love Star Wars.
Yeah, Visions. That episode ninth in Jedi. Particular, was it the Ninth, yeah. Was the it ninth, the ninth Jedi? Jedi?
Yes. Yes.
That was a cool concept, and that seems like where they got it from, is like, in that show, in that anime, is like when you touch the lightsaber, like the crystal kind of like adapted to your Force
immediately.
So like
when the mood ring.
Yes, exactly. And yes, thank you, Connor. The mood ring, like a mood ring. And that is my problem, because that works in anime. That can be beautiful. That can be beautifully drawn and animated, especially when God, I can't remember who's the master in that, but. When he grabs the lightsaber after he kills one of the Sith, it instantly turns green and it emits in this like distorted version of like, now I'm this color, you know?
Yeah.
Beautiful. And if you haven't seen the Ninth Jedi, you're doing yourself a disservice. Truly.
It's a great,
but does that look good in live action? No, I don't think so. I think that's the other problem too, because you see it slow. You see Osha's lightsaber slowly turning red.
Yeah.
You know, or sorry, it wasn't Osha's. It was actually, Master Souls, I think, right?
Yeah, which
is also weird in a certain way, because she hasn't bonded with that Kyber yet. And
yeah, nor did she.
If Darth Vader is struggling to turn this lightsaber, to corrupt this lightsaber to the point that it gives him PTSD and visions of the future of a whole other path he could take, where he's killing Palpatine and then going to Obi-Wan and begging for his forgiveness.
Dude, that comic is so good.
It is amazing. You know, and again, like, I do not think, and this has nothing to do with Osha, just like, I just do not think that a normal Force sensitive should be
able to do
that difficulty be alleviated in some way, where the point where it just seems like, oh yeah, it just happened right there because of this.
See, like, I feel like it would have made more sense if she like intentionally tried to do it, but she literally just picked the lightsaber and it just like it just turns. Yeah. Like, what do you think?
I think I loved the fact that when we get it in the comics, that it's a ritual. It's something that is almost like a rite of passage for the Sith and the Darksiders.
Yes.
And it is like challenging, intimidating for these people. Like, my favorite version is when we see Kylo. When we see Kylo do it, he has his crystal that was his blue lightsaber. He takes it out. He starts to bleed this crystal, and he gets visions of all of the people in his life that have loved him and he has loved. He gets Leia. He gets Lando. He gets Luke. He gets his dad. He gets Chewie. He gets all of them. And that's when the crystal cracks.
Yes.
And that's when we know Ben Solo as a character is split to the core. When he kills his dad, it's split to the core. It does the exact opposite of everything that he wants to do.
Yes.
And that itself is so symbolic of his character. And I love the fact that it was in a ritual, that he was intentionally trying to do this thing that he can't do because he still has so much light, and the light calls to him.
Yes.
And it seems like once, because we are so deep in the lore and we appreciate all of these comics so much, once you see that and then you see what happens in the Acolyte, it seems a little bit cheap.
Yeah.
But for people who have never read a comic, that is easy for them to understand, that they are seeing the transition of Osha going from the light side to the dark side visually right in front of them right there.
Yeah.
So I understand why they did that. I just think the audience that we are, it's not that target. It's like they made that decision where, like, hey, these people who appreciate this, like, it's not gonna happen. And I think they could have done something where, I don't exactly know when, but like, let's say in a cave when she's in the cave and when she puts the helmet on and then gets during that time, that something like that could have happened to show us this is what's supposed to happen.
Yeah, I think, again, I don't want to make it about the Acolyte because there's still a lot that I want to talk about the Acolyte, for better or for worse. But yes, I think that's the whole issue that I have with the Acolyte is shoulda, woulda, coulda, you know, and is seeing all the potential that for me was thwarted and lost, you know. But yes, there are things that Acolyte did that was amazing for, you know, nerds and experts of the expanded universe, like Cortosis. That shit was amazing. I was throwing my chair because I was so excited. But when it came to, you know, the bleeding, I think the better word for how I would describe it, this process that they showed of bleeding, is watered down. That's how I would describe it.
And I feel the same. Down. I feel the exact same about Jedi Survivor as well. Because when you see that, like, it's so quick, and it just makes you feel like, oh, like someone can just turn on a dime and be like, I'm a dark sider now. Like, my lightsaber is
got red. Out of cryo sleep and said, this is the first thing I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, damn, boy. Like, he was not, like, he was there half naked.
Yeah. At least his was like intentional.
Yes.
Like, for me, it doesn't even, like, for me, like, that difference.
He's a little better. It's still not as cool.
Like, it's just like the fact that it happens like that. Like, you can, like, we've seen people, we have seen Rey use Force Lightning unconsciously. It's that same idea where, Rey to us is more, like Dagovir was saying earlier, like, Rey was shown to be more powerful than Osha was in the Acolyte. But it's that same idea where, like, it's kind of the same thing where we've seen people do things unconsciously with the dark side that doesn't bother me as much as the fact that it takes 5 seconds to do it.
Yeah. But even, and even still, that I, you know, I'm not so high in the Rise of Skywalker. I still think that scene where she accidentally uses lightning is executed much better than what we saw, the bleeding, you know, because there's, there's so many things that she's a Palpatine now. She's angry. I personally feel like that made more sense than someone who doesn't know how to do this thing doing it, you know. And pulling off something that Vader struggled with, you know, or Ahsoka struggled with, or to the point Kylo Ren and Rey is sensing this dude on the other side of the galaxy when this is happening, you know, which is like, that's supposed to put more emphasis on this shit is very hard to do.
Yeah.
You know,
and but, I think it goes to, I'm going to say one more thing, but it speaks to a bigger problem that Disney has and Lucasfilm has with like retconning certain stuff with the media and the hierarchy, obviously, of what happens. And I think that if they paid a little bit more attention, maybe not even pay attention, if they just decided to honor a little bit more of that stuff, I think a lot more of the hardcore fans and the lore, the people that are deep into the lore would appreciate it a little bit more.
Yeah, I really think it's execution, man. Because I think that's the problem is, like, you're going to go out to this place and you're going to talk to all the baddies that you know on the local scene. You can't tell them that you're a fucking nerd, you know, but you can insinuate that maybe you like certain things. You can't go full nerd and show them your Lego collection and lightsaber collection immediately. But there's a way where it can be attractive enough to that they have interest and want to talk to you and don't throw away your number, right? And I'm saying that in terms of not throwing away your number and doing it the right way is that there is some amazing stuff in the expanded universe. There is some stuff that I think Lucasfilm is too afraid to bring to live action because how are you supposed to make it work? Because look at the bleeding stuff. It didn't really work. And now it's you have people that don't even watch Star Wars talking about how it breaks lore and Anakin Skywalker is no longer special, which is also wrong, you know? And I think that's the problem. It is an execution error because I think the execution error is very consistent in a lot of these projects that people criticize. And when it comes down to the lightsabers, you know, yeah, there's a bunch of stuff. Can this person do this with the lightsaber blade? Why are the kyber crystals colorless? Why are they not colored? Why is there only one planet that they're getting them from? Oh, and that planet is now the First Order Starkiller base. You know, are you only getting them from Disney's Galaxy's Edge when you pay $300, you know, at Savi's workshop? And, you know, it's stuff like that where I feel like we jumped way too far in here and then we gave you the watered down version of this. So now people that only watch The Acolyte have this really bad taste of what this experience was. And I don't think there's no chance to correct that unless they, you know, unless someone like, you know, Tony Gilroy gets a shot at it or something like that, you know.
For the record, I think $300 for a Kyber crystal is a bargain.
Bro, I had the greatest experience of my life. I recorded everything I got to show you guys. And the guy that's there, you know, I'm a Sith boy, bro. And I made my stuff all Sith out. And he's talking to everybody. And then he looks at me and he comes up to me and he says, "That is not a weapon of a hero."
Oh, geez, a Sith Lord?
A Sith Lord?
Yeah. Yeah. I will say the $300 was a little steep for me. I built a droid instead when I was there. I got a little droid that, you know, remote control can, like, drive him around.
That, yes, I love that stuff. Look at me, bro. You know, I can't.
One of the things I wanted to touch on, because I get this a lot in my comments, is lightsaber colors.
Oh, and the meaning?
I wanted to talk about the meaning.
Oh my God.
Is there meaning? Is there
canon? No. Here's the deal. Look, no. I'm going to look into my camera.
Because I used to get told, like, years ago, it was canon.
Tell them, Connor. Tell them right now.
Looking into the camera right now, lightsaber colors have no meaning, except red is a dark side.
Yeah.
White is purified. A purified crystal. A
gray Jedi.
Oh my God.
And the Darksaber is something crazy that we have no idea what it is.
Yeah, we have no idea.
And yellow also represents the Temple Guards. Most of them, not all of them. And if I hear some Jedi Sentinel shit in the comments, it says some Jedi Sentinels use yellow. That does not mean that every single Jedi Sentinel uses the yellow or is more about their companions and people and friends. That is all incorrect, man. I don't know who told you guys that, but it's never been a thing.
Joe Schmo could have posted that on the... What happened was Joe Schmo did post it on the
internet. I think that's where came from. Like, somebody just made a video about lightsaber.
No, all right. So you have the Jedi... Oh, I got books all around me, bro. I'm ready to go.
Oh, he's ready.
Right? So... The Jedi Path book talks about the Sentinels. It talks about everything. And purple does not represent that Mace Windu uses the dark side. The that is not a thing.
Is that not a thing? Is it not called Vipod or whatever the hell?
All right. Oh, okay. Great question. Thank you so much for coming here. So, guys, I just want to let you know, Vipad actually allows Mace Windu to give himself to the fight that's happening. And yes, the dark side is being thrown at him, but Mace Windu does not channel it. He does not use it. It passes through him, and he's able to send it back without using it. And the correct term is that it brings him, Mace Windu, to the penumbra. The penumbra means the edge. He's going right up to the door of the dark side, and he's staying there. He's not passing through it. He's not opening it. He does not use the dark side, bro. Stop.
I would compare that to my Avatar The Last Airbender fans. I've got the tattoo right here. I've got Avatar The Last Airbender tattoo right here. It's lightning redirection. So when Aang gets when Zuko gets shot by at lightning from his father, he takes the lightning, passes it through his stomach and back out. That is what happens. That he cannot use light. He can't make lightning. He's not talented enough to make lightning. We've tried. Yeah. His sister Azula is the one who can make lightning. Yeah. He lets the lightning flow through him and back out.
Yes. Yes. Bro, I got it right here, bro. I will read the entire definition.
Yeah.
But that is the problem, is that people online have said these things. And they don't understand. Bro, and they do not understand what they're reading. I made a mistake recently. I made a Mace Windu video that was about him from the novelization, and I misinterpreted the words, saying that Mace Windu had put the blade so close that Darth Sidious was choking on ozone. That is incorrect. Mace Windu was choking on the ozone of his own lightsaber because he was getting pushed by lightning, Darth Sidious's lightning. That happens. Everybody's human. But it gets to the point where people are saying this stuff to the point they're twisting and turning it and lies, and now Mace Windu is a gray Jedi, you know. so that in my opinion is also the problem with something like you see in The Acolyte, where now everybody that's a darksider or turns to the dark side should have their lightsaber change in that moment.
Yeah,
that is not true, and right. That's the problem with poor execution,
because that just creates all this confusion.
Yes. But again, that's like, that also leads up to what Connor wanted to talk about and touch up on, was the lightsaber colors and their meaning. You know, green is green, blue is blue, yellow is yellow, orange, interesting AF, you know? And there was a time, I think, orange, a lot of people thought orange was like a kyber crystal or a lightsaber crystal that when it's infused or hatred and rage channels through it, it turns red. That is not true, you know. That is not true, you know. So yeah, I understand, because I love Star Wars and lore, and especially when it comes to lightsaber crystals, because it's a part of our identity. We all want to. I love red, bro. Am I a Sith Lord? I don't know.
I like maybe, purple.
You know.
I mean, I'm Mace Windu.
See, that's cool too. Purple. So, Connor, what are you, Connor?
I'm Yellow Saber Gang.
Okay. See, I was yellow when Jedi Knight was cast, you know, and then all of a sudden everybody's calling it piss color now, because I guess that's the thing that they hate with Rey. I really dislike that. I don't know why yellow is getting all the hate now because of this. Because yeah, back in Jedi Outcast, baby, I was yellow gang too. Okay, that shit looked cool as hell, you know. But now I'm more of a red and whatever else. I don't know. I'll have to wait for a new color, but. I think people are so fixated on the meaning is because of it's an identity.
Yeah. You
know? I think that's really what it is. It's just like, this is my color. You know, I want to be this and I want it to mean this. Doesn't make you right though.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say then, so like, I guess in canon, like the color of the crystal, like it just kind of happens. Unless so it's
the
red,
way that like, I, the way that I understand it is, so all kyber crystals are clear, or that like bluish clear tint that we see in the animated.
Yeah,
most of them. Yes, most of them are supposed to be colorless. There are still colored lightsabers out there made naturally, but they're extremely rare.
And what happens is once someone bonds with their crystal, it attunes to the Force user, attunes to the person, and then creates a color. Now, it doesn't mean that like all people who really like to use the Force and are strong in the Force are going to be green. It's just like, hey, Johnny, your aura is blue, so you're going to get a blue lightsaber. Your aura could also change. Like we see in Star Wars Rebels, Ezra has a blue lightsaber to start, and then we see him after the time skip in season
three.
And he has a green lightsaber.
Yeah.
So I like the fact that they can use lightsabers as almost like character, moving characters forward, and you see like growth between different people, but doesn't mean anything specific. It doesn't mean that Ezra's now more powerful in the Force. Maybe he is, But like, that's not the reason his lightsaber is green.
Yeah, it's not like a set meaning that.
Yeah,
because exactly. I used to get told that. Oh, green means you're good in the Force.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, so, yes, and blue is more. I think like it's combat. Supposed to be, yeah, combat.
Yeah,
yeah.
I used to get told that. I that's why I want to clarify this because like, I needed to check with the experts here. Like, what was true and what wasn't.
Yeah. So it's a good tool to use to like tell a story or a character trait, like with like Kylo and Ezra and all of that stuff. But there's no specific reason for there to be a color of a kyber crystal.
Yeah. Not in that way. I mean, maybe there was certain things I feel like, you know, especially because there was so much source books and expanded universe material with video games and things like that. And there was Star Wars Galaxies, and then there was Star Wars The Republic MMO, which I played. And that thing had so many crystals. Like, it was like double colored crystals that, like, on the outside, it may be like orange, and then on the inside, it was black. Really cool stuff. I fell in love with this gray cyan color that was just like this, very pale, bluish gray. Yes, that is my color. Like, I love that.
Terra Sanube? Like that
color? No, it was like even more gray. Like, okay. I can't even describe. I have to show it to you. But, like, that is my color, you know? But is that in Star Wars? You know, it's a video game. So I can't take it as seriously, you know, as I would coming from a book or a comic or something, you know? Yeah. Lightsabers are the most important thing outside of the Force because, like, bro, like, yeah, it's on the cover of the movie. Yeah, like, dude, like when you think Star Wars, I would argue that you think of lightsabers first. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the first thing you think of.
Yeah. And I understand why people are very upsetty spaghetti when they see something like that happen in The Acolyte, or their color of the lightsaber crystal is not actually what they read on a YouTube comment back in 2011, you know? So.
Yeah. One of the things I really like, and it's fitting that I'm going to bring this up because the High Republic just ended.
Yes.
The High Republic has brought in like a bunch of really cool lightsaber designs, lightsaber colors, lightsaber like concepts. Basically, we see like the light whip with Vernestra. We see a bunch of different colors.
Yellows.
My favorite lightsaber color is yellow, so it's cool to see like those be a lot more prevalent.
They're everywhere now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually think they need to tone it back because I think. Yeah,
I'm yellow saber gang out here.
Yeah, I feel you, but I just feel like now, like, you know, now Luke had one in the comments. You know, Rey had one in the comics. You know, every other High Republic character has one. You know, like it's frustrating for me now because I think it's taking away. You know, like, you know, where are the orange? Where are the pale blues? Where are the different variants of green? You know, I think that is something that you could do a lot more.
Soka had a variant of green. That just reminded me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like there's a lot that you can do with these colors. And I think that, you know, maybe they're just a little afraid or they want to go back to George Lucas and the Phantom Menace before Mace Windu asks or Samuel Jackson asks, hey, I want purple.
Literally created lore.
Yeah, which is great, which is cool. Yeah, that's awesome. No, that's awesome, you know. But, yeah, in regards to lightsaber crystals and bleeding, I want to know, like, do you guys think that that should continue to happen? Is this, you know, a part of Star Wars lore that should be forever permanent? Or do you kind of wish it was never a thing?
I low-key kind of wish there was, like, some meaning, because then it would kind of make sense, like, depending on the Force user.
Mm.
Like, I think that'd be kind of cool. Like, that's why I kind of liked those lore videos, and I thought, like, maybe, like, a lot of people thought for a long time, like, it was canon, because of, like, we want, like, explanations or meanings behind things.
Yeah, I think theory crafting is very natural when it comes to Star Wars, you know?
Like, kind of interpreting things you see in canon and kind of making assumptions, I think that's kind of cool and part of, like you said, part of Star Wars. Mm-hmm. So maybe I would like to see, like, an explanation. What do you guys think?
I enjoy they're not really being like a specific box to put people into for different lightsaber colors. Mm-hmm. I do like the bleeding of the lore. That's one of my bleeding of the crystal. Excuse me. That's one of my favorite pieces.
And purifying too. I love the purifying thing we haven't really talked about.
Yeah. Purifying, I actually like even more. I think that is like the coolest thing ever. For Ahsoka to be able to purify a blood crystal and heal it. So I adore lightsaber lore. I would love to get more of it. I would love like to figure out what the hell is happening with the Darksaber. Like,
yeah, I'd like to know what that is.
Like the more that we get of lightsaber stuff, that's why I really like the High Republic, is because we just got so many different variants and different designs. Like, it's a more grandiose lightsaber as opposed to a more functional lightsaber, that we actually see that transition happen in the High Republic. So I think lightsabers are a fantastic tool to tell a story about a character, to tell details of who they are. We've spoken about Kylo before, Ahsoka literally having a light side like essence inside of her from the daughter. Her having a white lightsaber is perfect. She's the perfect person to have that. Like, that stuff can tell a story. And that's what I love about lightsabers.
Hell yeah, man. I echo that 100%, dude, because I think there's ways to look at lightsabers and say, this is a very good lightsaber. Darth Maul, Phantom Menace, hello. Double bladed lightsaber, red, amazing, generational. I would argue that Kylo Ren's too. You know, like when I first see the Force Awakens, and he just in the forest, so that scene that never even appears in the movie, still awesome. That was always forever fixated in my mind. You know, like, there's ways to be so expressive with the lightsaber, whether it's by color, whether it's by design of the hilt, a lot of cool stuff. But yes, I think there's still components of the crystal itself, because remember now, this thing is supposed to be alive. This is a living organism connected to the Force. You know, and that's not something that you see a lot of in Star Wars, to the point where it's literally, you know, attached to the hip of the Jedi when it's, you know, when it's on the hilt. So yeah, there is a lot of expression. Maybe there could be meanings for certain colors, but I do agree with Connor that they shouldn't be labeled and attached to this forever, you know? But there's a lot of really interesting stuff. I actually think one of my favorite shows, and it's not the best at all, it has problems, I just like what it did for me, is Shin and Baylan. And their orange crystals, and the way their lightsabers look, like that is identity. It tells you so much about these characters. Like, you look at Baylan's lightsaber, and then you look at Shin's, and it's like Baylan's lightsaber had a kid. Like, it's so interesting the way they are, you know? So cool. That's why I always think about, like, what's Finn's gonna look like, you know? I would not want a Ezra Bridger season one where he's like shooting, the pulse gun. That's a little. I mean, it's a little too much. I'm not saying it doesn't work, but it's for me. I
like the uniqueness, kind of like the personality. And you brought up a good point of like the identity of the person. That's why I think it might be cool to have like more meanings for colors, because then it like tells like the user's connection to the Force. Like, that's kind of where I was, but I do like Connor and your point where you kind of said like more of like, you know, doesn't have to have a specific like color meaning, but like, how is that person connecting to the Force kind of thing? So,
yeah,
I do more lightsaber lore, the better, basically, I think is what we're saying here.
Hell yeah, man. I really want to see more shades of blue and green. I don't think there's a problem with that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying
more light green.
Yeah, I'm not saying I want to see, you know, like the entire rainbow spectrum or anything like that. You know, not that there's anything wrong with it. I just think that it needs to be more refined and executed well, where there is some form of finesse. You know, like, I remember this character and I remember that lightsaber. Mace Windu is a perfect example. Like, no one has like another purple lightsaber, outside of expanded universe character like Jaina Solo and, you know,
well, Vanestra,
and Revan and all these other characters, but like on screen, Mace Windu for life, you know, Darksaber, we know who that is now, you know, like it's just like these characters, like Ahsoka with the white, like it tells a story, like Ahsoka was able to do this in Star Wars Rebels, but in the time of the Mandalorian, she can't do that, she's not in the right mind state until she ascends, you know, it's just like, okay, wow, we may be able to create this lightsaber, but we're on a totally different spectrum now, and because we lost somebody or Anakin, we're struggling, you know, and I love that. You know, I think it tells more of a story of the character than, I looked it up on a reference book and it said that they like fighting more than the Force, you know.
Dagavir, what would be your lore for your lightsaber created at Galaxy's Edge?
Oh, yeah. Actually, I'll get it right now if you guys
want to see it.
Yeah.
Let's see it.
Oh, yeah. Let's see it. Yeah, let's. That's
so I will. So I'll just tell you a little lore. All right. So I actually kind of died at birth. And I have, if you guys can see, I have like gray hairs, like right here. I've actually had that since I was a child, like since like literally came out of the womb. I had a fever of like 116 or 17, and they put an IV inside my head because they didn't think I was going to make it. And so that's why I have this like coloration. But it's all over me now because I'm just stressed out all the time. But because of that, I always felt like I was an anomaly and I shouldn't be here. And so all the suffering that I had in my life, I assumed that I was paying for being here, you know? So I always kind of called myself the master of suffering or the master of failure, right? It's not like a edgy thing. It was just like, I'm failing so much in so many different ways. So I know how not to fail, you know? And then I can teach other people how not to fail because I effed up. And so now they don't have to F up. But I'm a dark side boy because of this, you know?
And so, dude, that's so cool.
That's why you can see the edges. That's why you can see.
Oh my goodness.
That's why you can see. And then even the back, it doesn't matter. Even if the lightsaber is not ignited, I will find a way to win. I will find a way to survive. You know, I may let you hit me, whatever. Like I'm still getting back up. And so I really enjoyed this version of the saber. And of course it ignites red, but you know, I'm also one of those people, kind of like the whole Samurai Bushido thing. You know, you can end someone to save and preserve the life of many others. You know, and if I have to be the one that does that, that's fine. I'll burn for that, you know. But I like that lore. You know, it doesn't mean I'm a shitty-ass person. I can be good, you know. But when it comes, comes time to throw hands, baby, you got to get ready to catch them.
Ready.
So, and that's one of the flaws that I think the Jedi had. You know, I'm not saying let Anakin kill children, but I am saying let him be the hero of the Republic, you know, and maybe things turn out a little differently, you know.
Yeah.
But
lightsaber.
Yeah. Man, the only thing wrong is it's too girthy for me, bro. Like this thing is like 14 pounds, you know. I can still do some stuff with it, but
those Rebels lightsabers, the skinny ones.
Yeah. I actually don't like those. I do not like those.
Ralph McQuarrie concept.
Oh yeah, I know. It was when I actually did not watch Star Wars Rebels because of that. When I was, yeah,
you're missing out, dude. There's some good.
No, but I watched it. I sat through it now.
Yeah.
When I saw Darth Maul, I was like, yo, this might be the greatest.
Yeah, they did some cool stuff in Rebels. It definitely took a while to get going, but there's some cool lore in it.
Yeah. It's the same. It has the same flaws as Clone Wars. Like, I can't get through the first two seasons. You know, the first.
Yeah, well, Clone Wars is a little more, I was 10 when that came out, and that was right in my alley. Yeah. But they got matured with the audience, and then by season 5, Mandalorians, you're getting decapitated by Ahsoka, and Maul's like murdering people, and it's
dude. Oh my god, yeah, no, it's so good. But I will. I do want to know, since you guys asked me, and I'm a big lightsaber guy. I used to be a double bladed person for a long time, but then there was just something about wielding a single bladed lightsaber.
Double bladed purple.
Okay. All right. Cool.
Double
bladed. Right.
I would love double bladed, dude. I've always like.
Yeah.
My lore is kind of funny. Like, I did like karate as a kid. And I used to like do like, I forget what it's called, but like a staff. And it was literally like a double blade lightsaber. I used to pretend that I had a double blade lightsaber when I would like perform and like do different, like routines and whatnot.
Oh, cool.
So that's why I've always told myself, like, I would have a double blade lightsaber and it would be purple because I just love that color. Like, green's probably my favorite color, but for some reason, lightsabers, I always just love Mace Windu's because it was like unique and different.
Yeah, bro. I've always connected
with that. So, like, I would go double bladed purple. And I just love with the double bladed, like, you could do, like, just different things. Like, I always loved with Maul, like, I mean, when he kills Qui-Gon, he, like, hits him with the hilt. Like, you can't really do that with a single bladed. Like, it's really, it's like a whole different kind of combat. And I've always, like, loved that in Star Wars. So, that's what I would do. Double bladed purple.
Yeah. Connor, I got to hear it, fam. I got to hear the yellow. I got to know.
Yeah,
man.
Yellow what? Yellow cross guard?
No, it wouldn't be a yellow cross guard. I love my favorite lightsaber is Luke's lightsaber. Luke's green lightsaber. And it's modeled. I have Leia's lightsaber here that I got from
the brass.
Yeah, he's got the brass. That's sick.
But this specifically is my favorite part. This little, like this, like long, skinny neck.
Yeah, the emitter area. Yeah,
the emitter. That is my favorite part. So my lightsaber would have that with a yellow blade. Not for really any specific deep lore reasons.
Yeah.
But just based off of vibes.
Damn.
That's common. That's all you're about is vibes, dude. Just like in Fortnite.
Yeah. But it's also also personifies you really well, just about like, hey, this is the Jedi way, bro.
Yes.
I'm very different. You know, I'm gonna be Anakin Skywalker. I'm gonna have the dark robes. I may be packing with a blaster. You don't know, you know, because I'm ready to go, baby. Yeah, exactly. So uncivilized, you know, but I love that. I love the idea of that, you know. Now I want a damn video game, like I could do this. But I think that's the importance when it comes to lightsabers and crystals and how you execute them right in storytelling, because people want to be the Jedi. I mean, I'm not saying I want to be a Sith, but I love the red lightsaber, baby. Mm. I love the way they look. You know, it's like the greatest models and architects are all bad guys making clothes for the bad guys. So, hey, man, you know, they advertise it well, all right? That's all I'm saying. But yeah, I think lightsabers are the coolest thing in entertainment. Like, straight up, man. They're so cool, dude. Yeah.
They need to invent a real one. Actually, I saw a video about that.
No.
Maybe not.
We don't need an Oppenheimer for lightsabers, okay? I'm not trying to go down.
Freddy W videos. Jedi A-holes, if you know what I'm talking about. Like old school YouTube. They just run around with real lightsabers and just cause chaos. Like, that would be kind of cool.
Bro, I am not trying to pick up my McFlurry with M&Ms at midnight and again get shook down by a guy with a lightsaber, okay? Like, it's not, I don't want that.
Dude, I'm ready to have a duel in the middle of the street. I'm ready.
No, I don't have one yet, so let's wait, you know?
That's fantastic. Any last comments that you guys want to make about our beloved lightsaber?
I'll just say lightsabers are cool. I want more.
Yeah, I love them. I think they're one of the more important parts of Star Wars, you know, like the Force and everything else. I just, when you see and hear, you know, we didn't even talk about lightsaber sounds, you know, like it's that it's like, this is supposed to be it, you know, like Kylo's had this like weird growl, you know, Vader's and Luke's are all very like, these are quintessential, you know, to Star Wars and a hero and a villain, you know. So yes, I would love to see more. I think the High Republic got away with stuff, and even the expanded universe with Githany and her light whip, and of course the dark lady of the Sith, Lumaya, with her whip as well. But some of them can work in the expanded universe, and some of them need to stay in the expanded universe, you know. So I love it, man. And I'll read it either way or watch it. I just hope it's good.
Absolutely, yes. I think the message is, we love some things about lightsabers. We don't love some things about lightsabers, but lightsabers are cool.
Yes.
Yes.
And whoever has made it this far in the podcast is also very, very cool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
We'll be back with another episode here next week. We appreciate everybody supporting us. If you're still listening, shout out my dad. Honestly, my dad always listens.
Shout out,
always,
Pat.
Let's go.
Always, shout out, Pat.
He always comments on our videos. So much love to you. But yeah, may the force be with you all. And we'll see you guys next week.